This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين قال الله تعالى في التنزيل العزيز بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون وقال يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما وقال سبحانه وتعالى في سورة آل عمران زين للناس حب الشهوات من النساء والبنين والقناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة والخيل المسومة والأنعام والحرث ذلك متاع الحياة الدنيا والله عنده حسن المآب. In ayah number 14 of Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ وَالْبَنِينَ وَالْقَنَاطِيرِ الْمُقَنْطَرَةِ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. The ayah I just read before. The translation of it is as follows. The satisfaction of worldly desires through women and children and heaped up treasures of gold and silver, قناطير المقنطرة من الذهب والفضة, and pedigreed horses and cattle and lands is extremely attractive to people. It is very attractive. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out some categories of things that people are attracted to throughout history. And you know, the cattle changes to something else. Cattle was an asset. Today we have a different asset class, which is stocks. Okay? People have different types of assets that they acquire to build wealth. You have pedigreed horses, al-khayl al-musawwama, right? The musawwama comes from the word ism, which is a name, and wasam. Wasam is to brand something. Wasam is to brand something, which is you would take hot iron or something that would leave an imprint and imprint it on an animal to let people know that this is your animal. Okay? And this was only done for the very precious of the breeds of animals, not for any other like small donkey or horse. It was for like a very precious type of horse or a very precious type of camel. So when something would be branded, you know, that's where the idea of brands come from, by the way, right? It's something that had value just by you looking at it from afar. Okay. Now, interestingly, there's no more branded horses, except unless you live on a farm somewhere. But we have cars. We have cars. People have a desire for a different, you know, for a variety of cars, for luxury cars, for cars that not just for transportation, but for pleasure. As a status symbol, as a means of expressing their wealth, and also finding pleasure in just the idea of driving and riding. Okay, this is something that we have today. So even though the shakl has changed, the face has changed, the essence remains, because the human condition remains the same. We as humans don't really change. Our environment, the way we live changes, what we wear changes, the how we commute changes, how we work changes, but everything else about our needs, our desires, what gives us happiness, what makes us sad, that remains constant. You can't change that about a human being. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out all these categories. It talks about the attraction that a man has, particularly for women. And this is something that I don't need to expand upon. I think it's very obvious and very trivial point. This is something that every person has. Heaped up treasures of gold and silver, having lots of money, and not just money to make sure that you make your ends meet, but enough so that you can say, Alhamdulillah, I have this amount saved up for myself. The idea of pedigreed horses, which is today manifested in different types of rides and cars. Cattle, which is another asset class, different ways of building wealth. Walharth, land, owning property. somewhere you can establish your roots, somewhere that you can live and your kids can live. This is, you know, part of the American / Canadian dream as well, to own your own home, isn't it? It's just something that always has been the case. It's always been attractive to people. Zuyyina lin-nas. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this is how it's been. Don't try to change the way human beings are. Okay? But understanding how we are is important for us to become the best version of ourselves. And that's what the Quran wants us to be. It doesn't want us to become, does not want us to become not human. Okay? It does not want us to stop loving the desire of having these assets, because that will be, you know, going against what makes you human. But it wants you to do it in the right way. And it wants you to excel, go to the next level, aspire for something higher. ذَلِكَ مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. Because this is enjoyment of the world. This is stuff that's worldly at its core. Okay? وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. What Allah has is a lot better. What Allah has is far more lasting. حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. Ma'ab is a place you go back to. It's like your home. But not just a home that, you know, you temporarily go back to. It's like, that's where I belong. So Allah has the best of those. Meaning, if you have to sacrifice any of these things, sacrifice not having a lot of wealth because you don't want to earn wealth in a haram way. Sacrificing, for example, the not having pedigreed horses, meaning not having a rice cart, because perhaps you are using your money for something more important, taking care of your family, maybe supporting people who are poor. That's what the Sharia is trying to inspire us to be. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. That's how we are. This is what Allah wants you to be. وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. In the next few ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes what these people are. These people who aspire for حُسْنُ الْمَآبِ. How is it that they are? What is it that they do? How does Allah define them? Very beautiful ayat. Allah says about them, or first Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ أَأُنَبِّيُكُمْ بِخَيْرٍ مِّنْ ذَلِكُمْ. Should I tell you of something better than all of this? Okay, again, aspiring to something better. What is that something better? لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. For those that have taqwa, that's the base, that is the foundation of everything, taqwa. For them there are gardens, جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ, with rivers flowing through them, in nearness to their God. And خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, they will live in it forever. وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَ, and pure spouses. وَرِضْوَانٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ, and the pleasure and goodwill of God, of Allah. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِالْعِبَادِ, and Allah is watching what His servants are doing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in this ayah for us the, again, what are we inspiring to? Having everything start to the base of taqwa. The base of taqwa. The essence of taqwa, brothers and sisters, is to be able to leave things. Tarkul ma'asi. Leaving things that are impermissible. That's the essence of it. Okay, I'll give you two examples. One is the linguistic meaning of taqwa is from the word waqiya, which means to protect. Which means, and wiqaya is a shield that a soldier would use. I've given this example many times before. But again, it is applicable. It is a shield that a soldier would use to prevent himself from being killed. It's a protective measure. So, the idea of taqwa is to protect yourself. Okay, that's the linguistic meaning. When you see it in an application, Umar radiallahu anhu explains, for example, he asks Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, he says, what do you think is taqwa? Tell me, what is taqwa? Okay, this is what they would speak about. And Abu Dharr says, taqwa, I think, is you walking a path and you, that's thorny, that maybe has some pitfalls, and you're making sure you don't get trapped, or you don't get nipped, or you don't fall into any of those traps. Umar says, that's it. That's exactly what taqwa is. It is, in essence, protecting yourself from falling into things or getting or getting affected by things as a precautionary measure. That's what the essence of taqwa is. That's why fasting builds what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Fasting is so that we can build in us the ability to leave things. Because we leave eating and drinking. We leave the most pleasurable things known to human beings. We eat and drink not just to survive, by the way. We eat and drink to enjoy. We eat and drink to, you know, gather and socialize and have fun and find that pleasure that food gives. Intimacy. That's something that is one of the, like Ibn Hazm says, that's the ultimate human pleasure. Ibn Hazm says that. I think a lot of us would agree with that, inshallah. Of course, done in the right way. The idea being, we give up things that are pleasurable for the sake of Allah. Things that are halal for the sake of Allah. To train us to give up things that are haram for the sake of Allah. That's what the essence of taqwa is, my brothers and sisters. There's nothing more to it. It is to watch ourselves, make sure we don't fall into things that are impermissible. Okay? So لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. That's the foundation. The foundation is of taqwa. If a person then is told, brother, stop doing this is haram. This wealth that you acquired, it's this way you're acquiring it is impermissible. When you have taqwa, and if the evidence is clear, taqwa will lead you to what? Eventually stop. If not immediately stop, eventually stop acquiring wealth in that haram manner. If a person is doing something that is impermissible, and then the basis of taqwa is there, once the understanding comes into place, the taqwa will eventually stop them from doing that thing that's haram. That's what taqwa is supposed to do. Keep us away from things that are haram. So that's the base. لِلَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. When that base is there, then Allah says, these people have jannat. Plural. Not jannah. Jannat. Plural of gardens. And these gardens are like nothing else you have seen. And even can't even imagine. فَلَا تَعْلَمُ نَفْسٌ مَا أُخْفِيَ لَهُمْ مِنْ قُرَّةِ أَعْيُنٍ. People don't know what's been stored for them. No one can actually even conceptualize what is stored for them in Jannah as pleasure. But Allah gives us a glimpse. جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ خَالِّينَ فِيهَا وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. Sorry, وَأَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ وَرِضْوَانٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. This paradise, the glimpse of it, it is, rivers are flowing through it, in another interpretation, under it. Okay, and this is the most prominent description of Jannah we find in the Quran. Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. If you read the Quran, that is the thing you will find almost, I don't know the stats off the top of my head, but I would guess, an educated guess, 90% of the time, this is the description you will get from the Quran of what Jannah looks like. Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar. Okay? Why is this such a beautiful description? It shows you that this is not just land that is a bunch of greenery. This is pristine land. This is land where water is flowing through it. It's extremely valuable land. The most expensive real estate is what? Always next to the water. This is the most expensive, the most valuable real estate. جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. That's the kind of place where people find pleasure. If you go to a cottage and there is no lake, you would say this is not a very good cottage. If you go to a cottage that has a lake, you would enjoy yourself a lot more. That's how we are as human beings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms that and says that جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. It has these rivers that are flowing through it, and it's beautiful that if you take the interpretation that they're going under it, then this is something that we have never seen before. This is something that we don't experience in the world. That there's rivers that are, you can see it flow through under the ground, and that is something that is incredible. Another interpretation is that they're flowing through it, i.e. under the shade or under the branches of the tree of it. Either way, the only way to find out is to get there, inshallah. We ask Allah to give us jannat and tajri min tahti al-anhar. That's one description of it. Number two description of it is khalidina fiha. Khalidina fiha. And this is another very prominent description of Jannah in the Quran. You're living in it, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, sometimes خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا, forever. And this is the second part of the glimpse of Jannah. It's not going to be taken away from you. It's not going to be taken away. The loss or the fear of losing your property, losing something that you own, it's never going to happen. لا يبغون عنها حولا. The people who are living in it will be so pleased that they wouldn't want anything else. Even if, hypothetically, someone came to them and said, let's go to a better place in Jannah. The people of Jannah would be so happy with what they have, they would say, no, we are okay. لا يبغون عنها حولا. That level of content, that level of peace, that's what Jannah is. جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. It has purified spouses, أَزْوَاجٌ مُطَهَّرَةٌ. For the sisters, they will have their husband. For the men, they will have their wives, and of course, the حُور. And these are purified. Purified in the physical sense, all of us, purified in the physical sense. So there isn't anything that's impure. There isn't any stool or urine. There isn't anything that is despicable as a from a physical point of view. And purified from a emotional and spiritual point of view. There isn't any ghil in the heart. There isn't any animosity in the heart. There isn't any lying. There isn't any, you know, false speech. It's all 100% good stuff. It's all truth, it's all enjoyment, it's all happiness. There's not a hint of sadness. There's not a flaw in the person who is in Jannah. They are literally 100% flawless. Every single person who is in Jannah. This is Jannatun tajri min tahtiha al-anhar khalidina fiha wa azwajun mutahhara wa ridwanun min Allahi akbar. And so the thing that is the best, the thing that is the best, وَرِضْوَانُ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The pleasure of Allah, knowing that Allah is happy. This is when the people of Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's a hadith about this. The people of Jannah will be asked, after they've enjoyed Jannah for a little bit, Allah would say, oh people of Jannah, are you happy? They would say, of course we're happy. Why wouldn't we be happy? We have given us everything. And Allah says, I will now, what's coming now is, you will not ever have my anger. I will never be displeased with you. And my pleasure is always going to be with you. And you will not die ever in this state that you're in. And that will be the completion of Allah's favor. To not lose the pleasures that we have, and to know that Allah is happy with us. That will be the ultimate pleasure. We ask Allah to give us this ultimate pleasure in Jannah. Ameen Ya Rabbal Alameen. This, brothers and sisters, is what the Quran says we should aspire to. This is what we should aspire to. The world is filled with things that are beautiful, and we desire it because we're humans, and there's nothing wrong with it in a halal way. But what the Quran wants us to do is aspire for the Akhirah. Aspire for the house that's permanent. Aspire for جَنَّاتٌ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. The place that we will never leave. The house that we will never leave. The place where the ultimate pleasure, the pleasure of Allah is. That's what we should aspire to. The next two ayat, I have a few minutes, so I'll explain the next two ayat as well. The next two ayat, my brothers and sisters, talk about the characteristic of the people who are going to go to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, الَّذِينَ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا آمَنَّا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Their base was of taqwa, if you remember. الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ. That's the base. But now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what is built on that foundation? What's built on that foundation is dua. Number one, the first thing you notice about these people is their dua. And if you read the Quran, and you look at the pious in the Quran that Allah describes, in Surah Furqan at the very end, in Surah Al Imran at the very end, in Surah Baqarah at the very end, the people of virtue, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only describing their virtue, but also describing their dua. Because dua is the foundation of our spiritual lives. Dua is the foundation of our spiritual lives. Because the Messenger also said, "Ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah." It is the essence of ibadah. The core of worship is to connect to Allah. And connecting to Allah happens through dua. So Allah describes their dua first and foremost. Very beautiful. What is their dua? They're the ones who say, "Rabbana innana amanna." Our Lord, we have believed. We have believed in what you have said. We believe in the Messenger that you have sent. We follow him, O Allah. And we are trying our best to follow him. فَأَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا. But we'll make mistakes along the way. We're going to make lots of mistakes. So forgive our sins. وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. And we're going to make these mistakes, sometimes not once or twice. Some of these mistakes will be habits. Save us from ourselves. Save us from going to the fire hell. قِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. This is the foundation, my brothers and sisters. Ad-du'a is the foundation. How beautiful is their du'a? قُلْ مَا تَسْمَعُونَ وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي لَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. بسم الله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وأصحابهم ولا أما بعد. These people of paradise who are aspiring for something greater, whose life is not just acquiring of or whose life is not just acquiring material gains, it's aiming for something higher. Their foundation is taqwa. The spiritual life, the lifeline of these people is dua. And the characteristics of these people that Allah describes it as as-sabirina, number one. Was-sadiqina, number two. Wal-qanitina, number three. Number four, wal-munfiqina. And number five, المستغفرين بالأسحار. Five very concise descriptions. But subhanAllah, each of these five we can talk about for like another 10-15 minutes. I'll just briefly mention a translation and make a point or two. These are people who are patient. These are people who are truthful. Number three, they are qanit. They're obedient to Allah. They are ones who spend for the sake of Allah. And they are the ones who ask for Allah's forgiveness bil ashar at the time of dawn. Ashar, you know, ashar is from the word sahar, which is the time of suhoor. It's the time of suhoor. Just before it is time for fajr. Just before it's dawn, it's time for suhoor, the last part of the night. Allah describes these people, and this is the one I'm going to end with, inshallah. Describes their characteristics. They're patient. They're able to take some grief from people and not lash out. They're able to see people do wrong things to them and not become extremely offended. As-sabru tahammul al-adha. That's what sabr is. It's to be able to take, you know, nonsense from people and still be okay with it. And still be, you know, not completely jaded. That's one very good definition that, for example, Ibn Hajar al-Haythami gives of sabr. It is in essence bearing the difficulties that you are put in this life because of what others are doing to you. They're able to do that. As-sabr. They're able to have their life is a truthful life. What they say, what they do is truthful. As-sadiqeen. Allah describes them with ism fa'il because that's who they are. The noun to show that this is a permanent characteristic. It's not like they tell the truth sometimes and lie sometimes. Truthfulness is the way, and that's the only way. As-sadiqeen. Qaniteen are the ones who are able to, you know, obey Allah. Come out to ibadah in the late parts of the night. Come out and do these things that are very difficult for other people to do. Out of the idea of al-mulazama. Continuing and doing things that are difficult. Munfiqeen, we can talk about spending all the time. Spending for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will hear much about spending down the road, so I won't expand on that. But they're able to give for the sake of Allah without worrying about what's going to happen to their bottom line. But the thing that really gets to me is this last one. Al-mustaghfirina bil-ashar. They are asking for Allah's forgiveness at the time of suhoor. This, according to the mufassirin, they are people, this is a person who has prayed tahajjud. This person has just prayed tahajjud. And now they're sitting and waiting for fajr. They're waiting for fajr time to come in so they can pray fajr prayer. This is a person who is at the peak of their spirituality. Waking up for tahajjud in the last part of the night and praying it is the best non-farb thing you can do. The best optional worship is that. Waking up and praying just before it is Fajr time. The last sixth of the night. Subhanallah, they have just done that. And now they're waiting to pray Fajr, which is a salah that if a person prays in jama'ah, they get the reward of half the night as well. Okay? Extremely virtuous people, but that does not get to their head. That good deed does not get to their head. Their worship does not make them think that they're so good and pious. Their worship makes them more humble to the point where asking Allah's forgiveness. وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَزْحَابِ. They ask Allah to forgive them while they're waiting for their Fajr prayer. They don't become arrogant because of their worship. They don't think that they're all of a sudden very special because they woke up and prayed some rak'ahs or prayed Fajr. They don't have a sense of entitlement because of their spirituality. There's a sense of humility. And there is istighfar, saying, "Oh Allah, I have many mistakes, forgive me. Oh Allah, I have many mistakes, forgive me." وَالْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ بِالْأَصْحَابِ. Subhanallah. We are in Ramadan. We have this rare opportunity, brothers and sisters, to combine all five of these characteristics. The rare opportunity, okay, where we can be patient through the difficulties of fasting, where we have to be truthful. And this is not just in Ramadan, by the way, but here is a chance to start getting these five together. Where we have the opportunity to do things above and beyond, worshipping Allah above and beyond. A ta'a that is more than normal. We have the chance to spend, and we should spend a lot in this month, and help as many people as we can, trusting Allah will give all that money back to us and more. And then as we are having our suhoor, we should make a step far. We should ask Allah's forgiveness. We should not waste those precious moments. We should go to the masjid for Fajr. Pray the Fajr Salah as well. This Ramadan presents that rare opportunity where all five of these things can happen. And I pray that they happen so that Allah can make us of those who inherit those jannat that I spoke about. The paradise that has gardens or that has rivers flowing in it, in which is the ultimate pleasure, the pleasure of Allah. I ask Allah to make us of these people. I ask Allah to make us of the patient and the truthful. I ask Allah to make us of the obedient and those who spend. And I ask Allah to make us of those who ask for forgiveness at the time of suhoor. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin fil awwalina wa fil akhirin. صلي على محمد في الملأ الأعلى إلى يوم الدين اللهم أحينا على سنته ومتنا على ملته واحشرنا في زمره واستلام حوضه يا رب العالمين اللهم آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا الصلاة.
الله أكبر.